From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. An Illinois state legislator and her staff have been receiving death threats over a profound misreading of legislation she introduced. As we'll hear, State Representative Deb Conroy sponsored House Bill 4640 at the behest of her county health department. The idea was to speed up data sharing that's already taking place among hospitals, the state, and local health departments. But conservative media outlets and politicians falsely describe what the legislation would do, picking up on a bit of existing law quoted in the new legislation that allows the state to quarantine people to prevent the spread of infectious disease. The law specifically includes non-compliant tuberculosis patients. Again, that's already the law in Illinois, but one conservative news outlet invoked the idea of Conroy's bill leading to a concentration camp. The bill is about data sharing. Representative Deb Conroy is a Democrat from the western suburbs of Chicago. She's not attending session in Springfield this week because, for security reasons, she and her staff are working from a secure, undisclosed location. I spoke with Representative Conroy yesterday afternoon and began by asking her to say more about what House Bill 4640 is actually intended to do.
House Bill 4640 is an initiative of all of the county health departments in the state of Illinois. And what it does is it allows them to get the data that they already get from the state, but to get it in a quicker fashion. So currently, they would receive, as an example, opioid data from 2019 and 2022. This would allow them to receive it and disseminate it for themselves. So, and we need the legislation, because the legislation allows the state to release it and give it to them so that they can disseminate it. Nothing changes. There's no issues with HIPAA. They're not getting any new information, current information, so that they can try to help their communities in a more timely fashion.
And the idea here is that local health departments, as I understand it, can, like you said, in a more timely fashion, they can get real-time data of whether it's opioid overdoses or a global pandemic, say, and their admissions to their local health department or local hospitals. That information goes to the state, but it can take years to get back to the counties?
Correct. And one of the other big issues that we're facing in Illinois and in our country is maternal mortality. Hmm. This data actually helps with that as well.
How did you come to be the sponsor of this legislation?
So DuPage County Health Department is a big advocate of that, and I represent a large district in DuPage County. So they asked me if I would carry it for them, and I was happy to do it. You know, it would benefit my community, and I, you know, never saw it being a controversial piece of legislation.
So what was your first indication that this bill was being misread? And we can talk a little bit about, maybe for people who aren't familiar with the drafting process of how bills are written in the Illinois General Assembly, but what was your first indication that this was turning into a bigger problem?
Well, last week, Brian, I went to Springfield on Monday evening to have dinner and then was told to turn around and come back because we had Snowmageddon hitting Springfield. So I drove back on Tuesday morning and my phone started to blow up. So I pulled over to see what was going on. And I was sent a copy of the Illinois Review. And in the Illinois Review, they were saying that I was trying to institute concentration camps for the unvaccinated, that I could, this bill would allow us to quarantine people that weren't vaccinated. And I read it three or four times and I thought to myself, what in the world is happening here? And so I called a couple of folks I've been working on with the bill and realized, well, you know, in the 10 years I've been here, Brian, I've never seen anybody put a piece of new legislation in and it became its own statute. So anytime you file legislation, it goes into a current statute. In this situation, this language was going into a statute that had all to do with health department regulations, part of which is a law that already exists that the health department, say Dr. Arwadi, has the authority to declare a quarantine. So if there is an epidemic or a crisis, she can do that. She currently can do that. I'm still hoping to at some point have time to look back and see when that was put into statute. But my guess is it goes all the way back to scarlet fever or, you know, some other type of pandemic that broke out that we had no way to control.
Yeah. And so for people who aren't familiar, when a bill is introduced, there's a big, this bill happens to be 33 pages. There's probably less than one page of actual substantive changes, right? And it's indicated you have all the text of the bill that's just sort of appears as plain text. New parts, right, that are being added are underlined. Old parts, if they're being taken out, are struck through. And the parts that were that sort of caused all this consternation on the right were this idea of quarantining, which, again, was an existing law.
Correct. So that's kind of how it started. And then as it progressed, I had, as we started blowing up and receiving threats, I had an attorney draft a letter to the Illinois Review, which the Illinois Review did put on their website. They sort of walked back what they had done, but did not take any real responsibility for it. And in the meantime, what felt like a split second, the DuPage Policy Journal put out a piece with a headline that said, Conroy wants to institute concentration camps for the unvaccinated, with their own story. And that led to unbelievable amounts of death threats and horrible, horrible, horrible emails and voicemails that I really can't even describe. My staff was, I can't even tell you what they've been through. You know, initially this was like, I was angry, right? And then you start to go layer to layer and you realize just how much this is affecting so many other people. So my office has been closed for over 2 weeks. I now have my staff working in an undisclosed location, because I'll tell you one thing, Brian, that people don't realize when this happens, how much taxpayer dollars it costs when this happens. I've got state police, county police, my local police are involved. The state's attorney is involved. You know, they're going through all this information. We had to have police at my office if we were there for a couple hours. So I didn't want to continue to do that. So I found a place where my staff can work, where they feel safe and they can continue to do their job. And we don't have to have police presence.
There were also messages from public officials, right? Like Republican candidate for governor Gary Rabin. He falsely characterized the legislation on Twitter. This was posted 2 weeks ago, and it's still up as we're recording this. Mm-hmm. He said, quote, J.B. Pritzker's Democratic Party wants to mandate you into quarantine if you don't get a COVID vaccine. This is not a joke. Pritzker wants COVID jail, which again is false. He says the bill HB 4640 will be heard in committee tomorrow. The Democrats have lost their minds. And Rich Miller, who I saw this tweet posted at the Capitol Facts, he says he asked the Rabin campaign if it regretted the tweet and planned to take it down. And he reported their answers were no and no. How do you respond to when public officials are saying this sort of thing?
Well, it's not just the governor candidate. There's many others. There's locals. There's a state rep that is right next to me. There's a lot of folks doing the same. Leader Durkin was not willing to condemn what was going on by being honest about it. I think we're in a very frightening time when people don't seem to have any concern for the well-being. You know, we're just trying to serve our communities. And when you're not able to do your job, and to be honest with you, it feels like they'll do anything for political gain, you know, so they can't diminish me for the work I've done. So instead they create a lie, and it has many different layers. You know, we're seeing this everywhere. They're looking for ways to go after, say, currently they're going after the left, they're going after, you know, Democrats, and this is how they're doing it. And nobody's willing to stand up and say, you can't lie about this. You know, we always, no matter what we do as legislators, somebody doesn't agree with it. That's the business that we're in. That's why we have important conversations, respectful conversations. And it often changes our positions or moves us in a different direction. But this is a whole different level of scare tactics. You know, they're trying to frighten us into not being able to do our jobs, to getting what they want. You know, people are showing up at school board meetings and threatening school board members and yelling at them and saying, hey, you're making a political statement because you're at this public meeting and you all have masks on. You know, this type of thing is frightening to me. And I have a very hard time at the end of the day accepting the fact that I have colleagues on the other side of the aisle that are willing to allow a lie to perpetuate, even when it affects my ability to live safely.
Let me just take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st. We're speaking with State Representative Deb Conroy, who's a Democrat. She's the sponsor of House Bill 4640, which is about data sharing between hospitals, medical facilities, the state, and local county health departments. But it has been widely and falsely misconstrued, just because people seem to have a basic difficulty understanding how legislation is drafted in Illinois, looking at it on the state's website for that, falsely have the idea that it would allow for some new power to quarantine people, which, again, is an existing aspect of state public health law. Representative, you mentioned Leader Durkin, House Republican Leader Jim Durkin, and he issued a statement asserting that Republican office holders also receive threats. And he said, in an effort to be part of the solution, I encourage you, this was to Speaker Welch, I gather, to allow voices of the minority party to be heard and not continue to be disregarded. What did you think of his response?
To be honest, it was very hard to process for me that you know, in this business, we're friends with folks on the other side of the aisle, regardless of the political rhetoric or the polarization of the politics. But to realize that someone that I know would be okay with perpetuating that lie and knowing that they're not standing up to what the real issue is, that their politics is more important to them than the safety of a colleague. Because this isn't about me, Brian. This is about all of us who choose to do public service. You know, this could be any one of my colleagues next time. And what happens next time when no one's willing to stand up to it, the people that can stop it. And what you said before about not knowing how to read or misinformation, you know, I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. So if the Illinois Review or the DuPage Policy Journal had misinterpreted it or had not understood how to read a bill, which clearly today I can only assume it was intentional, because there was never anything said by, we misinterpreted it. Oh, we read it wrong. No, it was basically double down, triple down, and continue to allow these folks to basically just continue the horrible threatening emails and death threats.
That's a fair point. I shouldn't assume good faith or I don't know what the intentions of the people who posted that initial story, if it was simply a mistake in reading the bill or if there was, you know, sort of a wanton aspect to what they were doing. As of this recording, there are 21,377 people who filed what's called a witness slip in opposition to this legislation. Some of them included notes. Some seem to actually be on the merits. One person said, "You and your government agencies have no business in my private healthcare matters." I wonder if there is a substantive critique you've heard of the actual legislation, which again is about data sharing between local health departments and state and hospitals.
Well, you know, I understand there's a heightened sense of everybody feeling like they're being tracked and all these things, you know, I understand that. But the reality is that's just modern day technology. This bill does nothing and gives no new information to county health departments that they don't currently already receive from the state. All it has to do with is trying to get that information sooner.
Do you think you've gotten enough support from your own side of the aisle, from the speaker and your fellow Democrats on this? I was a little surprised, frankly, that, you know, I thought there might have been sort of an I Am Spartacus moment, right, where other people would have signed on as co-sponsors of the bill. But so far, you're on there alone.
You know, I never thought about that, to be honest with you, Brian. That was never something that even crossed my mind. Typically, a bill like this, because it was innocuous, it wasn't something, you know, you're not concerned about working it because there shouldn't be any issue with it. You know, I mean, there are bills where we know we're going to have to work really hard and really educate folks as to what the bill means. This was not that. This was not that.
What is next for this legislation? Do you intend to continue pursuing this data sharing, what would you say, speeding up or modernization?
Well, you know, I'm in a difficult position right now because initially I said I'm absolutely going to run this bill. There's no way I'm going to let them, you know, scare me out of this and the misinformation. And then you start to see how it affects other people. And you know, we now have to beef up security in Springfield on the second floor. There were some issues with my office there, some things that happened there last week. So this is a really important bill for county health departments. I've actually asked if there's another statute it could be put into. You know, I'm determined to not allow a piece of legislation fail because people lied about it and tried to scare me out of passing the bill. So we're going to figure out how to best, you know, do that, how to best accomplish what they need done in order to get this data. And I'm not sure exactly what those next steps will be, but we will figure out a way to get this done so that our county health departments can get the information that they need.
I understand you're also running for a county office this fall. What's next for you as you are considering, your future in politics and in public life? This has got to be makes you consider whether it's worth it.
It does. And, you know, last week, Brian, I was struggling with that very much because I have taken on some very big fights in my career that I'm very proud of. This was one that really, really gave me pause. And most of my career has been devoted to mental health and addiction. Last week, I held a summit online with all of the providers in DuPage County for mental health and addiction. And it was during that 2-hour summit that I realized this is why I do this. This is why I do this. I love what I'm doing. I'm privileged to be able to represent the community I have. I'm in DuPage County, but I represent the most diverse district in the county, and I'm very proud of that. And, you know, I fully intend to keep serving my community in the best way I can.
Representative Conroy, thank you for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you, Brian.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.